Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1? Proverbs chapter 1 begins, as I suppose is not surprising, the book of Proverbs, but it is actually introduced. And as we began to see last week, it states the purpose of Proverbs. It states the people of the book of Proverbs, and then the position or the role or the place that Proverbs are supposed to have in our lives. So what we will do this morning is look at those same seven verses and then pick up our message where we left it off last Sunday at looking at verse 4, which begins to instruct us or tell us who is going to benefit and profit from this portion of God's Word. So let's read these seven verses as we begin. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of God, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of the wise, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so it is that the Scriptures are to us this light, this guide, this means by which we are to learn how to implement and practice the Christian life. We saw in this morning's Sunday school lesson, which was called Puritan Politics, how Dr. Godfrey showed us how the doctrines of justification are compared to sanctification. And he was going through some of the Westminster Assembly and the confessions and the catechisms which they produced. And he said that justification is this act of God's free grace whereby we are forgiven. We are received as believers in the sight of God. And then as you go from justification to adoption to sanctification, we see how that work of God's grace transforms us, whereby we become those. It actually uses the word infused. And I've heard before that there is a view of justification. The Roman Catholic, they believe infused grace. Well, so it's not a bad word, it's just a bad word when applied to the wrong term. It doesn't apply to our justification. That's a work of God's grace once for all. Whereas sanctification is ongoing, progressive, inculcating the wisdom and spirit and the word of God into the hearts and minds of believers. So we will continue our study of the book of Proverbs as we understand it, as we see that that it is the principal means by which the wisdom of God is learned by God's people. So we saw last week the purpose of the book of Proverbs, and we saw that there were three fundamental functions that wisdom have. If you look at verses 2 and 3, to know wisdom and instruction. Remember, we distinguish between intellectual knowledge and knowledge that affects how you live? Well, this is the latter. If you know something, biblically speaking, you're doing it. You believe it. You're living according to it. When you perceive words of knowledge, you are able to live out that word, to live out that will of God, to receive and to expand on these things. And of course, the big difference, if you perceive the words of understanding, you believe them. You make those words your words. In your understanding and your wisdom. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, It talks about knowing Christ as knowing the fullness of wisdom and righteousness and holiness, because that's what we receive when we have Him. And then verse 3 says, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Well, the idea of receive there is not passive, but it's actively laying hold of it, not letting go, grasping it. It's actually quite a forceful word. In fact, it's a word that reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, where it says, therefore, brethren, be immovable, be steadfast in the faith in the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. And so it's a groundedness, a foundedness, if you will. Well, as we now come to new material, verses 4 and following, you'll notice a number of categories of people. The net effect is wisdom, and that which can be learned through wisdom is for you and you and you and you and you and you and you. For everybody. Well, look at the different classifications. To give prudence to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Well, we're going to take those various categories, those various groups, if you will, into heart. Who are those who are simple? We'll actually run across the simple a number of places throughout the book of Proverbs. The simple are those who are naive. They're not very wise according to the wisdom of the world. And so they're apt to be led astray. They're apt to be gullible, we might say. They're apt to wander from the path. In fact, you'll even see that a little bit later in this same chapter. She talks about the simple. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Listen when I talk. Right? That's what wisdom says. And of course, some of you might recall that those latter verses of Proverbs chapter 1 were one of the passages we considered a year or so ago with scary verses in the Bible. Well, why is it scary? Well, because it shows that the folly of the foolish is the very means by which we become the liable for judgment. And we are reminded of what the Lord has said and what the Lord will do. So wisdom is for the simple. Wisdom is for them that do not have this knowledge. For the tricks and deceit of evil men would take one away. And so wisdom makes one prudent. In fact, we'll see prudent show up as another word a little bit down our list here. But the impulse at the moment is gratification, pleasure. I want to do that which makes me feel good. I want to satisfy my cravings, either for food or for activity or some thrill or pleasure. Well, prudence relies on doing what's right. It has a greater good than a simple gratification of one's heart and oneself. And so it is the principle, prudence or wisdom, is the principle of doing what's right because you believe that in the end, something better awaits. So prudence is really cautiousness. Who has your best interest in mind? It answers that question, and it teaches you to maybe reserve judgment for a period of time. The next category in verse 4b is to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Well, granted, we all pass from youth to age. What sorts of bumps, scrapes, and scars will be earned along that way or will be endured throughout that time will have much to do by whether we were those who received wisdom and listened to wisdom or didn't. it's clear that everyone needs to be equipped. Everyone needs what is here described as knowledge, information, conviction, and discretion. Well, what is discretion? Well, discretion is another one of those distinguishing elements, right? If we have discretion, we will avoid mistakes. We will be able to avoid causing offense because we have learned, because we have heard, because we have heeded. And so the young and the immature need that which wisdom can provide. And of course, as we grow and mature, we learn life's lessons. I think we talked about that the other day. You know, what was the cost of your education, right? Well, this, that, the next thing. It's not just a dollar sign, right? It's living life and learning from the mistakes that we've made, not to make those mistakes again. And of course, the how can a young man or a young woman know if they have received wisdom? Well, what's the decision-making progress? What's the decision-making process in that case? For self, for others, for God and His kingdom? Will they be men pleasers in the end, or God pleasers? The propensity of a sinful heart leads one astray. And so there needs to be a restraint and a correction from those natural weaknesses and inclinations. And that's where wisdom comes in. Learning knowledge, learning information. Well, the next two listed there, and I kind of put them together, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So a wise man is who? One who has learned the fear of the Lord, one who grants God his right and the realization that what he says is true. That's not a natural knowledge. That's a heavenly knowledge. That's why the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 distinguishes between this wisdom that comes from above and this wisdom which rises from below. For what does a man know except the things of a man, except the spirit of the man who is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. These things we speak, not with the words of man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the unregenerate man, the man unaffected by revelation, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But here we as regenerate believers. It says, here we, but we have the mind of Christ. And so the wise man trusts God's word. In fact, I ran across a quotation just this morning. What we believe in the depth of our heart is represented in the content and the conduct of our lives. In fact, our lives are the truest reflection of our hearts, of what we most earnestly believe, right? Out of the heart flows the issues of life. For as a man thinks, what? So he is. All right, and so this is the realm. This is the area that we're talking about in terms of having knowledge and understanding. You know, I think in Psalm 119, one of the verses says, I'm wiser than all my counselors. Why? Because he's so smart? No, but because he's been given the mind of Christ. He understands things spiritually to be true. You know, and even in the book of Job, who puts the challenge up? God does. It's not Satan's idea. It's God's idea. Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him on the earth. What does Satan say? Does he serve you for nothing? He serves you because you bless him. And God says, no. Take what he has and see. His family, his flocks, his goats, his sheep, his buildings, his lands. In a day, gone. What does Job's wife say? Oh, Job, just curse God and die. What does Job say? Shall we take good from the Lord, but not evil? So then Satan strikes Job's flesh, his health. What do we see? That when God lays hold of a man, when God takes hold of a man, he upholds a man. He keeps a man. He keeps them in his word by his spirit. And so the old, the wise, increase learning. And the second part of verse 5, I think, is interesting. A man of understanding, which is a wise man, but says there that he will attain wise counsel. And that's not to receive wise counsel. He's able to give wise counsel. So he's able to share. He's able to instruct. He's able to teach. He's able to, you know, and part of the requirements for office, go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, is that one have knowledge, right? One be apt to teach. Well, surprise, surprise. That's what wisdom looks for. That's what wisdom enables one to do. So wisdom is for the simple, the gullible. Wisdom is for the young and the immature as they grow to maturity, right? How do you get from point A to point B? Well, we teach them, we train them. In fact, I think that's part of discipleship. How does someone get equipped to do the work of ministry, to live a life of devotion to God? Does it just bingo happen? No, it's a result of instruction and teaching. And then the wise man and the man of understanding will benefit from the book of Proverbs. In fact, he will benefit from the book of Proverbs. Because the way wisdom works, it accumulates. It has a foundation, and then on that foundation there's built a structure, and it compounds and increases. And of course, that is exactly the point that we need. It becomes permanent, it becomes effectual, it becomes beneficial with the hearts and the minds of men. In fact, I'm reminded, this goes back a long time. I used to have it on my email, but it's a quotation about abstinence education, which is basically the idea of purity and abstaining from sexual relations before you're married, right? But the quotation, I think, is just stellar. The quotation says, abstinence education is not about saying no. It's about saying yes to self-discipline, to self-control, to self-gratification. And then the last part is without learning, those three virtues, self-discipline, self-control, and the delay of gratification, without learning those three virtues, there can be no lasting success in life. That's how important. Embracing a positive commitment to wisdom and knowledge is to be. And so the last point, the position of the book of Proverbs, or the conclusion or conviction, is that we are to incorporate wisdom into our lives. While we will no doubt stumble and fall, but we will learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. The resolve, or the big picture of Scripture, if you will, is that there is one way that leads to life. Just one. There's one way that leads to life. That one way is not easy or simple, but it's filled with distractions, with pitfalls, with detours and dead ends. But the Word of God and wisdom's way will lead you in the way that you should go. The reality is this, is however you live your life, whatever path you follow, it's going to determine the destination that you reach. Right? There is a kind of a view of Christianity in the life where if you just make one decision way back here, then it doesn't matter what happens as you live your life down there. But that's not true. That's not true. Because when God lays hold of a man to save a man, He also indwells that man and grows that man to become and to be that which He is pleased and which He commands for His people to do. So basically, wisdom is that which will equip and provide you with what you need. Look at verse 6. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. To understand things that maybe now you don't fully grasp, but since you know the one who gave you the word and the will and the teaching of wisdom, you know that that's the path that will lead you and bring you to the point of maximum faithfulness and service, even devotion to God. And of course, that is what we are to hear and to heed. Look at the last verse there. It's actually repeated a few times in the Scriptures. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord doesn't speak just of knowledge, as it also addresses the idea of motive, that which becomes the driving force, the leading light, as it were, in our hearts and lives. What is it? Where does it come from? Well, it comes from the Lord. In the end, the book of Proverbs confronts us. The book of Proverbs challenges us. The book of Proverbs asks us, who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to hear? Who are we going to follow? Who are we going to trust with our future, with our lives, in the life that we will lead? Lots of wrong choices here. Your friends? Maybe some TV stars, some athletes, maybe popular music? Maybe it's your wisdom. Maybe it's your way. Well, the answer is no, because what we need to find, what we need to receive, is that wisdom that comes from above. Some think they're wise when they aren't wise. Some think that we can figure it out on ourselves. And yet, how often don't we hear in the Scriptures, don't trust in your own wisdom. Don't rely on your own understanding. Or, I think it's three or four times in the book of in the New Testament, don't think higher of yourself than you ought. Why? Well, because that's a short trip to foolishness. Right? Think higher of others than you do of yourself. Those who teach you the words and the ways of God are those that will lead you in the way you should go. In fact, the Word of God is replete with that. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will be like who? Will be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rains fell, the winds blew, the waves beat against that house, and it stood sure because it was founded on the rock. But the foolish man who hears the words of God and doesn't do them is like the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. Same rains, same floods, same winds blow and beat against that house. What happens to that house? It falls with a great crash. And so Jesus would teach us that if we would benefit from His Word and His will and His ways, it must be that we yield to wisdom's ways. We seek to serve Him according to His will. And of course, what's the flip side of wisdom? Foolishness. Right? Look at the last phrase of verse 7. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They not only neglect, they in fact decide, well, what might be good for others, but is not good for me. Even more than that. What does it mean to despise? Right? See, I think this is even worse than Romans chapter 1 sin. Right? They not only do these things, they also approve of those who do. But in this case, they militate against wisdom. They despise it. I will not be taught by wisdom. I will not be taught by the Word of God. So we see that there really is an ongoing battle for the hearts and the minds of men. It's not so unlike the Truth Project, where we heard about this cosmic battle between that which is right and true, tried and has endured from the beginning of time, and every position counter to it. There's no wisdom apart from God. There's no way to blessing that turns in rebellion against Him. Think of Psalm 2. How the psalmist cries out, who are you? What are you thinking? Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords. What does God do? Let's change that just a little bit. What is God doing right now to all those who want to oppose what is right and good and true? He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then He shall speak to them in His wrath and distress them in His deep displeasure. I have set my King on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. And you perish in the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. But blessed. Are all those who put their trust in Him. Wisdom is God's commands conveyed, communicated, embraced by God's people. Remember what wisdom is? It's knowing enough to do what's right when? When you're tempted to do wrong. Right? Because If you have an intellectual grasp of what's right and true, but you don't live according to that, you're not wise. I'm sorry, you missed the criteria. Because wisdom is conviction animated, that which leads us and guides us down the path of life. That we might know and believe and live in the manner that is pleasing to God. Might the Lord make it so for us all. Amen. Gracious God, We thank you for your word, for your will, for your ways. We thank you for the lessons of life, even in our present and past, how we might see the right response is always on bended knee, is always with bowed head. We thank you that you have given wisdom to your people. We thank you for the scriptures from beginning to end, especially for what we call the wisdom literature. Oh Lord, might it be that your word would have the intended effect upon each of our hearts. We ask and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.